Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, what do you know? Good evening. Welcome to Breaking the Silence. Welcome to my home here in Houston, Texas, which I personally believe is probably the most awesome city to live in the entire world. I love Houston. I think it's just a little bit south of heaven for me, and I just love it here. I love the heat. I love when you walk out, you sweat and you feel it. I really love that, but I was born and raised up north where it was, you had to shovel snow, and my snow days are over. But welcome to the program tonight. We have an awesome program. I want to let you know we have a great program next week. We have a good program. We got some really dandies coming up in the near future, but tonight is not going to disappoint. But I do want to kind of let you know next week we have an unbelievable guest. When you're OCD and ADD and full of BS and all of that stuff like I am. I do things very absolute routine wise, and I'm crazy with that. When I get to the office, I always type in Daily Mail, and it is a daily news kind of a drop page of all the news of that day over in London. And it talks about news around the world. And Monday, there was a news article on there that was about a young girl that had been kidnapped and sold. And it was talking about her story. I read the story and was just horrified. I immediately reached out to her. And she said, in fact, she started crying. She said, "Greg, I've been wanting to meet you. And this is the book that she has written called Unbroken, Surviving Human Trafficking. And her name is Lorada Lyon, L-Y-O-N. She's from London. When I talked to her, we've already pre-recorded. I got with the radio station and said, "Hey, I know it's hard to try to schedule something on the other side of the world with the time differences being 8 o'clock at night here." And we taped it. Unbelievable interview, unbelievable story, unbelievable resilience. And now she is a motivational speaker around that part of the country or the world over there, and has some great, it's just horrific. She was sold, I don't know how many times, in isolation for 6 months in a room the size of a closet. Unbelievable. And so you want to make sure next week you don't miss that program. There's several ways to get involved tonight. You can get right online. Let me see if it's on. It is Shattered by the Darkness. Webpage, Facebook page. You can put a comment in there. You can text me at 832-396-6525. 832-396-6525. Text me there. Or you can call straight into the radio station and talk to me and the guests tonight at 888-627-6008. And the most awesome person, Thomas, at the BBS radio station will answer the phone in his great radio voice and pat you right on through. And you can talk directly to our guest tonight. And I know you're going to want to hear the information that she has within her, the wisdom that she has, the story that she has, the endurance that she has, and the mission and vision that she has for young girls and the entire human trafficking world and the underserved and so many different lines of what she does up in the Tulsa area. So 888-627-6008. We began last week. I'm going to be really quick. We talked about two or three things that you ought to be getting rid of if you want to receive inner peace. And I talked about releasing self-judgment last week. I talked about releasing comparison. I talked about releasing the need to rush. It seems like in this world today, from us, that an old man like me, even down to the young children, they're on that screen and on that phone and on those iPads, and it puts that anticipation of running and always trying to do something and just not having downtime. So I talked about having inner peace to release some of that. Another one that I want to just throw in because I said I would finish it up this week is every now and then you need to be able to have the backbone, and I'm famous for this, so I'm preaching to myself, to say no, to not overcommit. There's a lot of people out there that will ask and ask and ask and ask, and that's okay, because I prefer people asking than not ask at all. But every now and then you have to go, hey, wait, I can't be there. I'm at another place and I don't think I can squeeze it in. So to be able to get that inner peace sometimes, and I need to hear this now because my calendar is unbelievably, some weeks are just full. Releasing overcommitment. Why does it matter? Is because too many yeses will literally drain all the energy out of you. And what you need to do is say no to something tomorrow. Just one small thing. Hey, you want to do this? No. Just start learning how to say no in the little things, and maybe that'll help you learn how to build the determination and the confidence to be able to say no to some things that you really want. I accepted, here I am talking to myself. I think the following week, not next week, but the following week, I'm in San Antonio this week, Rosenberg tomorrow, San Antonio Wednesday, and then next week I'm in Indianapolis at the International DARE Convention, keynote speaker, and I'm doing that keynote with the voice. You ready? Brace yourself. The voice of SpongeBob SquarePants. He is the other keynote speaker, so we're going to do some stuff together. And I was thinking, I jumped on that, and I said yes to that. Because it was an international conference, huge in Indianapolis. And I didn't know SpongeBob was going to be there, but not that I'm a big fan. But I thought I jumped on it just because of it being international. And now that I think about it, that's really not down my lane. This is a drug abuse association with schools and high schools. So I'm doing my speech, and maybe I will have a lane there that I can appeal to and be able to draw wisdom to. But that would have been one of those that I very well could have said no. Waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and flying there and being back that night so I can be at another place the next day. Why did I do that? So be able to get that inner peace. Sometimes you need to release overcommitment. Another way to get inner peace is to release the need. Oh, I need this too. The need to control. And Kristen, you may have this one. I want to control everything. And I think maybe it's because of my childhood, I wasn't in control of anything. And now that I'm old and I'm adult, I find that need to control. And sometimes I need to release that. And why it matters is because having control of everything fills me with tension and it ends up causing burnout. And what I need to do is I need to allow one thing to unfold in my life absolutely on its own or within somebody else's control and not mine. And I think sometimes being a pastor of a church, I think I have to be in charge of everything. No. I really don't. I think sometimes I'm doing them damage more than I realize that I am. Also, I need to release perfectionism. Let me tell you, life's never going to be perfect. You might as well stop looking for it. You might as well stop looking for the perfect mate, the perfect boyfriend, the perfect girlfriend, the perfect job, the perfect anything. You're perfect, your kids, they're not perfect. Release that perfectionism. And why does it matter? Because perfect keeps you stuck in a rut that you'll never be happy. On my birthday, July 25th, this is the re-release of my first book that has sold 3 million and 3.4 million, I believe. And I just got it back and I'm re-releasing it. And I'm looking through it just a while ago and think, oh man, I should have changed that. No. This has been out for 5, 6, 7 years. I'm not going to change a word in it now, but sometimes it just eats your lunch. Release that need to be perfect. And why? Is because it keeps you in a rut if you don't. And then the to-do thing that you need to implement, try to this week, is finish something at 80% and say it's good enough. You're trying to do a web page? Put it out there with all the errors, all the mistakes, and then eventually go in and correct it. If you wait for it to be perfect, everything absolutely, no mistakes, no errors, you're never going to have it online. And I think sometimes that we drag our feet on that. I'm going to stop there and we'll finish these up the next week or two, but I want to get to our guests tonight. Those are just some of the things that I don't know if you find inner peace very often. I try to, but every now and then I'm starting to find these little ugly heads raised. It's like that whack-a-mole. Like at Six Flags and Disney, where you have that, when you hit one in the head, the next one comes up, that little game at the arcade, at the carnival arcades. That's the way it is sometimes with peace. You just think you have it, and oh, there's something else. Oh, there's something else. And you keep on attacking it. And okay, anyway, that's all I got to say. I'm going to hush. If you want to get involved, 888-627-6008. And I want to bring in TJ, if you would, just bring her beautiful face right on the screen with me. Kristen Weiss is here tonight, the co-founder and the CEO of one of my favorite organizations in this entire world, the Demand Project in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She has a relentless pioneer in the fight against child sex trafficking and the sexual exploitation of humans since 2004. And this is 2025, over 20 years, over two decades, she's been doing this. And I could tell all of her things about her, but she has all kinds of education, all kinds of certification. And she is really probably known as one of the premier presenters, workshop leaders, trainers, educators, of this side of human trafficking, what we can do to help protect our children. And I know she's just helping the world change, not only in Oklahoma, but with the conferences she holds that literally has people coming in from around the country. So I want you to welcome to the program tonight, my friend, Kristen Weiss. Kristen, how are you, dear?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. What's going on there in Tulsa?
Oh gosh, so many things. I love all the things that you were saying.
Do you experience any of that?
Yeah, all the time. And you know, just to get personal and vulnerable real fast. Lost my daughter 3 years ago. And ever since, when I'm out in public, and right before that, lost my marriage. So I was just trying to get past my marriage. And then Hannah leaves this earth. And ever since, when I go out in public and I watch families interact and I see how a mom or a dad might be trying to strive for perfection in that child or trying to control all that the children are doing or being gruff with them or the way they're punishing or interacting, it's really tough. Because those imperfections, what I would do to have all of that mess right back here, right now, just to watch an eye roll of a teenager or to watch the, you know, have the wisdom to give to her when she's going through the normal things that happen in life. It's not if your kids are going to screw up, it's when they're going to mess up and how you're going to talk them through it and the wisdom that you give to them. I was watching this mom with this little, looked like an autistic kid, and she was grabbing her hand and trying to keep her real close at like an amusement park place. And then I watched another mom like embracing her child like I would with mine. And I thought, oh, how little we know in the moment what we have until it's not there anymore. So I love what you said about perfection. Like, let it go and watch life in a different way because you don't know when it's going to be different, when it's going to end, when you get to go be with Jesus, when you go off to eternity. So we got to do the best we can while we're here. But I think perfection and all the isms, they just ruin things, you know, they get us stuck.
Yeah, Kristen, I think with Hannah, and then what's happened in northern Texas with the floods, life, the world can change in a wink of an eye.
So fast.
Just boom, everything can change. And we really spend most of our time in the critical mode of pointing out the faults instead of hugging, loving, accepting, forgiving, enjoying life.
It's enjoying it.
Yeah.
I mean, in a, I heard they're supposed to get more rain in Texas. I
Yeah.
mean, my goodness, you've the punches that are coming to that whole state. You gotta live every day the best that you can and not expecting yourself or other people to be perfect. But we go to this big thing called the internet, and it's a wonderful tool. Love having the opportunity. Like, look at what we're doing right now. We're talking. I'm
Yeah.
getting a text on my phone. I mean, we could be doing so many things at one time. It's really spectacular, but it's also it, there's so much competition. There's so much. You feel like you're missing out all the time. Like, if I don't post this, or I don't say this, or I don't do this, or whatever it is, it's like, can you imagine if we were young, how kids are today, and we had this opportunity of the entire world being at our fingertips? I can't even imagine. It's hard enough being our age and dealing with the fear of missing out. I can't imagine being a kid these days.
I remember at 8 years old walking that dirt road in the country where I lived, waiting for the mailman to come by at 10:30 in the morning to put mail in the rural Route 2 of Illinois, and just throwing it in there to be able to go through the mail to hopefully get a letter from somebody. And now it's just instantaneous. You can talk to somebody, and then you get people that if you don't respond right away, they get mad at you.
They get mad at you.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. You've got to be on all the time. And that's hard enough for us as adults. Can you imagine that for kids? It's just such a massive responsibility. And it's one that can cause so much anxiety and depression and bullying and confusion and so many things that it's just, it's very, very, very hard, I'm sure, on kids these days. And they don't even know what's happening to them.
No,
As you said,
no.
you went outside, you walked down the dirt road, so you're getting exercise. You're in anticipation that actual snail mail is coming to you. And it was just such a great thing to have. And here we are today, and it's just so fast,
Yeah.
you know, and these kids are under so much pressure.
When you mentioned that, I'm noticing, because I'm always online like you are, and reading and studying and seeing what other people are doing and things. There's a new wave of a phrase called the power of the pause. And I haven't read anything but besides the headlines and the kind of the gist of it. But there is some meat on that bone that every now and then we need to stop. We need to shut the lid and take a walk. We needed to push everything to the side. Even when we're out to dinner, you can look at everybody else at all the other tables, and they're all doing this, not even
All
talking.
doing this, like they're not even looking at each other. Me and my son just went on a cruise, And I was looking around and I'm like, what is wrong with people? We're sailing on the ocean to the Bahamas. Like, it's a miracle in and of itself. And you've got all these people with their heads so far up their apps, they don't even know what's going on with each other. Like, it's a time that you're supposed to spend celebrating each other and getting away from the world, and they pay money to get Wi-Fi to still be connected. I did not pay money to be connected. I was connected to my son, and only my son, and the rest of the world was just gone for it for 4 days. It was amazing.
Yeah, and to miss that whole scenery of going out on the deck and looking at the water and the sunrise and the unbelievable. We really do. That's why I like here. You get to see what's
I
happening
know.
behind
I'm
me.
looking at your view a lot.
I look at that and watch that so often, but I guarantee you, if they weren't there, I wouldn't enjoy it. But boy, now you look out and you go, wow, look at that. In the clouds and because it's there, and we had to take that pause.
We do. I love
And
the
you think
pond.
the kids are going through that too, right? They're running a mile a minute.
Yeah, that's why I do the screenagers. So one of
Okay,
our
explain to me, since you mentioned that, what that is in your training, and you call it screenagers, which is a great, if that's original, you ought to copyright it, because that, of course, I don't know if there's anything original anymore, but if that is, you need to hang on to that, because that's an awesome name, screenagers.
So my son came up with that name. Somebody
Wow.
said that there was something out there in the past that name was to some kind of a film or something, but Joshua came up with it on his own. So in the Domain Project on the prevention side, we go out. One of the most important parts is the only part of the Demand Project where it's proactive. So we're actually going out, speaking to the kids themselves, speaking to parents and service providers, law enforcement, all over here. That's a different presentation. But with the kids, empowering them to identify predatorial red flags, how they might identify that a bad guy is talking to them online. They may be talking to somebody that's saying they're their age, but they're really not their age, trying to get nudes and videos or sextorting them for money and whatever it is. Or even if it's a parent that's hurting them and they don't know what's wrong because they've never known a life without it. I'm in there to teach them what that looks like and how to identify it. And so I called it screenagers because kids are literally on their technology scrolling through life. They're not seeing those beautiful sunrises and sunsets the same way. They're not out playing with kids in the neighborhood and getting their exercise and their breaths of fresh air. They're online on all kinds of apps. So that means they can bring predators into your home at any time and all the way up to their bedrooms, and they can be chatting with these people right under your nose if you, as the guardian, are not paying attention. So it really frustrates me when I see parents and guardians doing the same thing because they're not aware of what's going on. And I'll go speak to parents and they'll act like they're supervising their kids, but I'm asking their kids, how many of you have cell phones and how many of you have unsupervised 24/7 access? Almost every kid raises their hand. And I start with ages 11 to 17 that I'm speaking to. So 11-year-olds have the ability to have whatever access they want. So they got porn at the click of a finger. They've got social media platforms where they can say and do whatever they want to do. They can dress the way they want to dress. They can dance the way they want to dance, and nobody's supervising or monitoring what they're doing. So I go in and say, it never goes away. Whatever you put online is there for the rest of the life of the internet. Because it doesn't matter who you are and what kind of background you have, you can't pull down everything that a kid sends to somebody. If a kid sends a nude or a video, they've just produced child sexual abuse material and then they've distributed it and then somebody's viewing it and it goes on and on and on and on. And I don't think the kids know the repercussions and the consequences. They think they have anxiety now. You send naked pictures out to the world or to your school, That's a whole different level of anxiety. It could cause suicidal
Which it
tendencies.
has. I mean, how many of those have you seen online, like Fox News? And it seems like there's like one a week at least
All
of good people, good families. They,
the time.
boys, the girls kill themselves.
And you gotta, and there's always been depression and stress and anxiety in kids because it's life is hard,
Yeah.
but never to this degree where we're giving so much responsibility without supervision, without having a conversation. I ask parents, how many of you are going to hand your 11-year-old the keys to your car and let them go drive the roads and the highway and say, good luck, I'll see you when you get home? No, you teach them. They have to get a license, a permit, and they have to go practice. And they can't drive at 11, but yet we give them the ability to drive through the internet with no supervision. Dr. Gregory, it's a mess. It's just a mess.
It is. And, I tell when I talk on this too, I tell them if you let those children go to bed with that cell phone, you might as well go to the front door of your home, unlock it, and throw the door wide open because that's exactly what you have done. You've let anybody that they want to walk into your house through that cell phone to be able to reach and trying to capture your children, either online or literally and physically.
Luring them
It's
out that
terrible.
door. They're luring them out your front door. And while you're sleeping, your kids might be leaving to go meet someone and you may never see them again. Like, then we go into exploitation and human trafficking and all the things. And we're allowing these bad guys access to our children and anyone online if you're not being careful. We've got to get back into reality and not be so virtually minded all the time. Like, I would even add one more to your list of things that you're talking to people about. Unplug and get your head into reality. Just unplug for a while. Why don't you have a tech detox with your family? Why don't you start as the guardian of the home? You start, detox, unplug. Don't be so accessible. And I know that's hard in some of our jobs because we're dealing with kids, but I'm sure that we could probably transfer our power over to somebody else and then not control everything and unplug and detox and just let things go.
Yeah.
That would
In
be.
a nutshell, since you're the pro on this, quickly, you mentioned a phrase a while ago that people may go, wait, I've heard that, but I don't know what it is. Sextortion. We only had like a minute or so before the break. In a nutshell, what is sextortion? And if a parent at this point hasn't heard that word, oh, you're 5 years behind the line.
You really are. So it's when the bad guy on the other side of your screen is telling you to send a nude. They get you to send them something, and then once you send it, then they want you to. They don't want you. They may not need another picture, but they're going to extort for money or something. Whether it's more pictures, more videos, they're going to threaten you and say, if you don't send me more, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send it to everybody that you know. I'm going to send it out to the world if you don't, or I'm going to hurt somebody that you know. It's all a way of threatening someone in order to get something that they want, whether it's money, more pictures, videos, whatever it is. So we
So it
can.
could be somebody that's in one of their video games that's actually speaking to them on their television, on the little chats that you're playing, not Atari, because Atari was years ago, whatever, PlayStation or whatever those games are now. That tells you my age. I'm still thinking of Pong,
And I know
but
what you're talking about.
PlayStation, and they're talking to a little chat room, and you're thinking you're talking to a little 13, 14-year-old girl, and it's a 14, 15-year-old boy, and they end up getting your cell phone number. And then this, what you think's a girl, sends you a naked picture of her and say, hey, will you send me one of you? And that's something that this predator got offline, and it's not even them. He's a 60-year-old man in Nicaragua or someplace on the other side of the world, and say, hey, send me one of you now. And then once they do, they say, gotcha. Now you have to send money.
Yeah,
Unbelievable.
Jason, who I was married to, he's a sheriff's detective over child sex crimes here in Tulsa. And before he was on with them, he was chatting as a 14-year-old little girl online, and he's a bald-headed 50-some-year-old man. And this guy reaches out and says that he had been chatting with, "Send me a picture now, or I'm going to take over your life." And somehow he took over the screen and he started popping things up on the screen and he took control of it. Well, he's talking to this 14-year-old little girl, he thinks. If I was 14 and somebody took over my computer, I would believe them. Like, that is so, I don't know how they did it. I have no idea how they got access to the computer, but that would be scary for a young kid. If you don't send me more pictures, if you don't send me $150, I will take over your life. I will threaten your family. I will send pictures to other people. It's just a really dangerous game that kids are being brought into, lured into, groomed into, and they have no idea.
It's happening every day of the week.
Every day.
Every day. Tell you what, we're going to take a commercial break real quick. On the other side of this, I want to drill down just a little bit deeper on this, and then I want to come back full circle to the demand project, how you're helping so many young ladies, and what you have going on there in Tulsa, and how you're reaching out to them and families and making a difference in their lives forever and ever. So 888-627-6008. Don't leave us now. Come back right after this real short minute and 12 second commercial break. We'll be right back. Hang with us.
Get ready for a life-changing journey from the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come. Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, learning how to turn life's pain into life's power and purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
Welcome back. We have Kristen Weiss here from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and she is the co-founder and the CEO of the Demand Project. We're talking about sextortion and things of that order. With your expertise, Kristen, did you ever come up with and find out the researchable number that most people are saying is if your child is online at any given amount of time solid, somebody is watching them, trying to get to them, communicate with them, and already know where they're located at? Do you know what that time frame is that if they're actually on the line? I have been told 20 minutes. And what kid's not on? What adult's not on at any 20-minute time for a time limit of that? But they have now the ability to GPS literally right down to where you're at and then Google Map it to be able to see what your home looks like. Is that not right?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I was at a middle school, so I was talking to these 11, 12-year-old kids, and I was doing my Empower presentation for them, and I was talking about sending nudes, and I said, "Who in here has been asked to send a nude?" And this little girl, she raises her hand, and I said, "Tell me about it." And she said, "Well, when I get asked to send a nude, I send them to my Cash app and tell them to send me a certain amount of money. And then when they send me money on my Cash app," now this is an 11-year-old little girl that has a Cash app, "and when they send me the money, I send them a picture of me flipping them off." And then these other little boys were giggling. And I said, "What about you guys?" And they said, "Yeah, when we're on Discord and we have our sleepovers and men reach out for pictures of us, we send them like appropriate pictures of our moms. And I'm like, I love their spirit. I do. That is, it's an interesting way that they're handling it. And I would love it, except for what you just said. How do we know that their location is not turned on to where these bad guys know where they're at? They're playing games with predators, and we don't know where those predators are, who they are. And our kids are playing games with them. They're sending pictures of their moms, or they're sending them to their Cash App to get money. Like, would we allow our kids to walk up to a predator on the street and have a conversation and mess around with them? No. But yet they're doing it on here, and those predators can find them if they
Well,
have
yeah,
a
I mean, in lots of cases, they're in a cafe in South Africa, but a lot of
always.
cases, it's 2 blocks down the road.
It really is,
And if it
because
makes them mad, they'll come knock on your door.
absolutely. When Jason is chatting with these bad guys, he can turn on his the location around him, and he can spot where these predators are texting him back. And they're
Wow.
usually right here in the area, 5 miles away. So there are going to be overseas people that are going to be talking to you and scamming you in all different ways, all kinds of scams, right? But it's the people in your neighborhoods, in your cities, in your towns, in the United States that we really have to worry about coming after your kids. Because if they can get to them, they're going to.
Yeah. And isn't it, is it not true that human trafficking is more popular, more profitable than drugs? Because drugs, or even a picture or something like that, you can only sell once. Human trafficking, if you can get that person, you can sell them over and over and over. And it's all about the money.
Yeah, and if you can get, I remember hearing a pimp in prison say, if you can get a girl or a boy, if you can convince them that they're in love with you, you can addict them to drugs. If you can get them to believe that this is a life that they're choosing, you've got your perfect victim on your hands, because they'll turn those tricks. They'll go and see those guys. And if you have a few, if a pimp has a few in his crew of girls and he can get them to compete against each other for his attention, you've got a fantastic, stable environment as a bad guy, because you're going to get them to have competition for that guy's love. And you think that you're doing this on your own will, and you're not. You can't consent under the age of 18. So when you're doing it, it's not okay for you to be able to consent. It's not okay for somebody to use you for profit. And then if it's a child that grew up in it, how do they know that it's the wrong thing? Because it's the person in their life that they're supposed to trust the most.
Right. I mean, and in the state of Texas, there's no such thing as a teen prostitute. What is that age in Tulsa, in
It used
Oklahoma?
to be 16. We just raised it
It's
to 18.
16.
It was, but now it's 18. We just changed law to put consent to 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is good. It's so good, because we would rather them have, like, a number is a number. A kid, just because they turn 18, does not make them an adult that understands all of life's consequences. I mean, your brain is not fully developed until about 25 to 27. So we're saying that a person at the age of 18 understands consent. But if we're not teaching them consent and we're not teaching them predatorial tactics, they don't know.
So anything under the age of 18 in Oklahoma and Texas, which Texas is the exact same age, at 17 years old, if they're out on the street selling themselves, no, you
It's
don't
your
have
fault.
that right because you're being prostituted and it's child abuse, human trafficking, and you don't have that right to control your body yet until you're 18. You can't
Yeah.
make that decision.
And where are you going to go? Are you going to go to a hotel room? Because a 17-year-old cannot contract to get a hotel room. A 17-year-old shouldn't be out on the street all night. They're supposed to have a curfew and be home. So a person under the age of 18 cannot be out there getting a hotel room, getting condoms, doing all the things, the alcohol, the drugs, everything that goes along with it. They can't consent to do that. They can't sign that contract.
With what the Demand Project is all about, and I saw this in your four pillar strategy of prevention, protection, recovery, and restoration. Kristen, what I know that's four huge things you're trying to resolve and help with and eradicate and protect and empower. What's some of the things that you're really excited about that the Demand Project is doing right now? Are you still the largest residential female in home environment in the country?
As far as I know, I don't think there's any other campus that has the 30 beds that we have. So it's capacity wise. It's
This
not,
is for females.
it's for girls ages 11 to 17. And we have up to 30 beds on our campus. And they stay in our program for 2 years. And they go through their mental, physical, spiritual, financial, and educational areas of their life in those 2 years. They go through school, they go on field trips, they do life skills, they learn a trade, they get to learn how to drive, they get to learn how to do all the things that they never got to do before. We've had kids come to our campus that have been told that they're too stupid, they're useless, worthless, they'll never make it in this world. All they are is a prophet. All they're only worth what they can bring in for their bodies and what they can hustle out there for. And then they come onto our campus, and it's a hard thing, Dr. Gregory, because we're asking them to come from a familiar captivity into a completely unknown freedom. And they don't believe that we're legit, and they don't believe that we don't want anything from them except whatever their expectations are for themselves. And we just want to see them be free. And it's called the Journey to Freedom. So they come out to our campus and they spend 30 days in one house where we assess how they are in those six areas and find out, especially how they are with education, because and their legal situation. So we really want to know how are they doing and what are we going to need to do to tailor this around them, because most don't have very good education at all and they don't know how to learn. They simply don't know how. And so, if they fit the program and they believe that they want to stay, they'll go to the next house, which is 17 months, and they'll go to school and they'll be in a house with other kids. But it's a residential style. They have their own room, they cook, they have chores, all those things. But we had a kid that was told that she was too stupid to ever finish school. And she graduated and graduated high school. Did a great job because we tailored her learning and she actually started college. And it was just an incredible opportunity for her to see. And whether she makes it or not in everything that she wants to do, that's not the point. The point is that she got the opportunity to do so. So I'm super jazzed about our program. We take kids from all over the United States. I mean, we take them from anywhere in the world. As long as we could get them here, we're funded through private donations, doing events, and we get a little bit of grant money. It costs a lot of money to do the restoration, so we're constantly out there talking to donors and people about what we're doing and to help us to do what we're doing, because we don't ever want to make a family pay for their child to go through our program, because they've already paid so much in their
Yeah.
life.
With
So,
this these 30 girls, because it's 24/7, they live there. I mean, this is their home for a couple of
their
years.
home
What
here.
kind of staff do you have to have in place since it has to be 24-hour staff? You have home moms and dads that live in each home. Is that how many house parents do you have?
Yeah, we have five houses that are program houses. So we have the 30-day. And then 3 17 months, and then 1 6 month graduation house. So after they go 30 and they go into their 7 month and they're doing the bulk of their program and they're setting up goals and they're going through their therapy and they're doing all the things and they've got a mentor and case manager and all those things, then in the last 6 months, that's where they would graduate. So now we're determining the 30 is how they're going to stay, and the 6 months is okay, where are you going to go? Are your guardians safe, or were they part of the problem? Were you in state custody? Now, where are you going to go? Like, there's some kids that have nowhere to go. We got to find a place for them to go. So, we need five guardians, and we have one right now. Our last guardian lasted 15 days. Why only 15 days? It's such hard work. You have to know who you are. If you don't know who you are, I promise you, these kids are going to tell you who you're not. And they're going to manipulate because that's what they've been trained to do. We're
Absolutely.
unraveling all the manipulation, the control. You know, all the things that you said in the beginning of the program is how these kids were controlled into doing what they were doing. So I'm right there with you. People need to stop with the control and with the manipulation and all of the things. Because that's what these kids are controlled. That's how they're controlled into doing this. And then we've got to unravel all of that mess. And it takes a lot. There's a lot of, it's not a tantrum. There's a lot of explosions at times. And there's a lot of sadness. There's self-harm. There's a lot of anxiety and a lot of communication that has to be done by the guardian to the child. Like, you've got to consistently be counseling them through life and all these feelings that are stored up inside and all this identity that they haven't been able to have. They're pickpocketers on our campus. They're pickpocketing people's identities to try to figure out who they are because they don't know who they are. And I'm sure as a therapist, you're tracking me completely. Like, they're just taking whatever they can and they're coming up with an identity instead of finding their own. So
Yeah, and they can manipulate. You know, I've noticed because when I got to visit the campus and meet meet the kids, and they know when they smell baloney, and I'm cleaning that up. They can smell it a mile away. Whether you really mean what you're saying or you're just playing the game, and they'll call you out on it, and they won't have anything to do with you.
Yeah, we sit down and I do a safety plan with them every 3 months to find out if all the staff and everybody on their team is feels safe to them because they do. They smell the BS, the baloney. They know when it's not the truth. So we're unraveling all that. So we need four more house guardians, Dr. Gregory. I hope somebody on this program would actually take that call and really be mission-minded and understand you're not going to be rich with us, financially rich, but you're going to be rich with your character and all that you're going to put into these kids' lives because the campus isn't just for the kids. It helps us to grow in our character. After Hannah, I didn't just lay down and fall apart. I had to get back up. She would have kicked my butt if I didn't get back up. And I had to pour back into these kids. There's too many lives to be changed in this temporary time that we have on this earth. And so I hope somebody hears this and says, pick me, I can do it. I don't care about how much you pay me. I don't care about, I just want to go and change lives. But you got to know who you are
It's
because.
a beautiful atmosphere, very beautiful campus. It's so serene. It's up kind of in the mountains type thing. It's called camp.
Mount Aruka.
Yes.
Mount Aruka. Aruka means transformation and restoration. It's Hebrew. And so every building out there has a name because for 3 years, me and Hannah and Joshua kind of built this place. And we really needed to have, it's not a faith-based organization, but we're all faith-based within the organization, or I don't know how we do what we do. I really don't know how we do what we do.
So besides the guardians that's on campus, how many other staff do you have? And you have probably one of the best teams
Oh my gosh,
of
we do.
anybody in the nation. And I'm being serious. I'm not just blowing wind. I really believe because just getting in the same room and around the same table with you all, unbelievable people. How many do you have in the total
We have about
organization?
23 right now, and we need probably five or six more people. Well, at least five or six more people on campus. We have a campus coordinator. We have a program director, a program executive director, a maintenance person, because the campus is 65 plus years old, so it always needs restoration.
Yeah.
We have two teachers in our school. We do online school for the kids. That's very, it's carefully monitored so that they can't do bad things online, because they're always trying to go back in to the
Right.
unknown online. And then we have respite workers that come in on the weekend and stay with the kids while the house guardians leave the campus. And then in the Tulsa office, we have me and a director of operations, executive assistant. We have a fundraising, donor developer, an office manager, a volunteer coordinator, and some financial people like our CPA and our fractional, chief financial officer, all those things, because we have to be above reproach. We have to be very transparent with our finances, which is no big deal. I mean, we're transparent with everything. I mean, I started this out by talking about my personal life. We know that a lot is based on who we are and what we do, and
Yeah.
we don't dare do the wrong thing, or that's the end of the journey for these kids. That
Integrity is number one.
it's number one. You have to have integrity and character, or you're out. You won't
Yeah.
make it with us, because I love humans, but these kids and this mission is beyond any one of us, and it's got to be sustainable after I'm not here anymore, after other people aren't here. It's got to be set up so well that there's always a safe home for kids. And I don't think anybody's doing it exactly like we're doing it, because we wrap tailored services around every single kid. And that takes a very special staff, because we all fall apart at times, you know.
Yeah.
And I would say probably the restoration is one of the biggest, most costly, but the most amazing transformational part of what we do. But so is the prevention. I love getting on that stage with those kids and telling them what their parents won't tell them.
Yeah.
I love saying, "What are you doing? What do you mean you're sending these pictures to these people? Like, you have to know who you are." I really love it. And then I love giving parents a talking to about, what are you doing? This is not your babysitter. It's not your babysitter. And that is not going to raise your children well. You have to raise your children well. That's why parenting is so hard. It's
Yeah.
hard work, but it's 24/7 work if you're doing a good job.
I've been screaming for years, ever since I've been talking to the public, that I think that the schools ought to be filled with children during the day to learn all the education they can, then at night filled with parents to learn how to take care of those kids that are there during the day. Because parenting, to cut your hair, if I wanted to cut your hair in the state of Oklahoma or Texas, I'd have to have a license. I have to go to school, get a license to do it. To be a parent, all I have to do is find somebody crazy enough to have a baby with me, and you get to be a parent.
That's
And there's
right.
no education required. There's no training required, and our parents need trained.
We
One of
do.
the things that you mentioned a while ago, and we only have a minute or two, the respite, is that like a part-time, like you're just coming in to cover and letting the house parents get away for a weekend a couple times a month? So you could actually just be a part-time position, right? To
Yeah.
be able to help out.
Yeah, you could come in at 4 o'clock on Friday and leave at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And it's decent pay, and you got to get a lot of training. We train direct care staff about 108 hours, and that's just our initial training. And we background check and do all the fingerprinting and all that
Have
stuff
to do that.
and make sure you're safe. But once you're cleared, yeah, you could come in, and you could also be a host home for some of our guardians, because they leave our campus. You could send money to help us to give a guardian a place to stay on the weekends if they don't have somewhere to stay. They need pampering. Our whole staff needs pampering. If anybody on here says, "Oh, I would like to bless them and give their staff vacations or whatever," like, it's a lot of work, Dr. Gregory. Like, we didn't even talk about the protection and recovery, but there's so many things people can just go to the website and they can look us up and get involved.
And the website is
TheDemandProject.org.
demandproject.org. And you know, I believe last time I was up there, one of the times I was up there in Tulsa, I went to court with you. You
Yeah.
were re absolutely representing, supporting one of the girls that was having a court case in front of the judge, and you and your staff was right there, and you know, and talking to the judge and talking to the attorneys, advocating for them on their behalf,
Yeah.
because they have to stand up in front of a judge, right?
Yeah. That particular case, she had lost the rights to her child to this guy that was allegedly the baby's dad, and we don't think that he is, but there hasn't been a paternity test on his side. And so that's why we all went, which I mean, that judge saw who she had behind her, and it changed his understanding of who this kid that looks like she's just whatever kid out there that shouldn't have a baby because she was 19 at the 18, 19. She was actually the first kid on our campus, and she's just going through some hard times and she needs more help and advocacy. So we will help them with their legal situations, just like what you witnessed. And I'm
Yeah.
so appreciative for you to be a part of whatever. Anytime you come in, just jumping into that fire like that, I just think it's so wonderful. They love you so much.
Well, the Demand Project is so special, and it's demandproject.org. Kristen, thank you for being with us tonight. And I know there's a contact. They want to contact you if they want to apply for a job, if they want to help donate, if they want to be part of one of these fundraisers. There's so many different ways to get involved. And I think now everybody in this world needs to get involved with an organization. I trust 100% the Demand Project. And I don't trust a lot of organizations and
Me
people,
either.
but I do you.
Yes.
I
Thank
do you. Thank you for being with us tonight.
you, Dr. Gregory.
Great having you. I appreciate it. Anything I can do for you, holler, and I'll be in your corner, I promise.
Always, always.
Thank you so much. Like we do each and every week, I always like to end the program with just one thought, but not going very long. Just one thought, no matter where you're at, no matter how dark it gets outside or inside or in here, no matter what you have to face tonight or tomorrow or the next day. Lean in. There's always hope. There is always hope. As long as you have breath, there's hope. Never give up on that. TheDemandProject.org. Get on there, help them out, send them something, donate your weekends, whatever you can do to be able to help out. Any small amount, any small way, any big way is going to be appreciated. And I know you will come out stronger, better. And the neat thing about it is you'll come out with a smile on your face because you know you made an impact. Once you meet those girls, your life will never be the same. Thank you, Kristen. God bless you. Join us next week. And I want to make sure you don't miss this. Lorada Lyon, the author of Unbroken, Surviving Human Trafficking. You will not want to miss that program. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Take care. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.